So last week we were, not last week, last time we talked about the B of blessed, begin with prayer. And we saw in Genesis chapter 12 verses 1 through 3, and even in other places we looked at how God wants to bless his people. He wants to bless them, bless them, bless them. And that's what he was speaking all over Abram. He was Abram in chapter 12. Later, God renamed him father of many nations as Abraham. But he blessed Abraham and Sarah. But we discovered there was a purpose in his blessing. His blessing of them was so that they could become a blessing of others. And we saw that principle, that godly principle, carry all the way from the Old Testament into the New Testament. So remember, that point is that we are blessed so that we can be a blessing. Sometimes Christians can just be, you know, bless me, I never get enough. And it's like, there's more blessing waiting for you, because the Bible also says as we bless, we will be blessed in return. So it's this really cool thing, and the purpose of your blessing others is so that they will come and be drawn closer to God through you. And in this message of begin with prayer, it was just real simple. Prayer creates divine opportunities. Prayer actually empowers your blessing. Without prayer, your blessings actually can fall flat. But also, we need the prayers to embolden us to bless, because sometimes, well, we're cowards. And we need God's help to be that blessing. And I'm just capturing a few things here, because it was just on my heart. This last Tuesday night, Jerry was leading the prayer service. And so this idea that prayer empowers your blessings, and there's actually in the blessing insert from that sermon, that message, was questions and ways for us to pray. And Jerry kind of broadened our thinking on Tuesday night on praying for those that you love. And he brought this one sheet, and there's extra copies on the table back there, the information table, if you would like them. And it's just how I learned to pray for the lost, those that don't know God. And he says, we know that believers everywhere, I just want to read a few things from this under the prayer section. We know that believers everywhere are burdened for unsaved or backsliding loved ones. However, many are praying in a spirit of fear and worry instead of faith. Right? You love someone. Could be a friend, it could be family. And you're praying out of fear for their soul, anxiety. And does God, where in the Bible does God say, pray out of your fear? And sometimes, like with some family, you can feel like there is no way. It's impossible. They are never going to believe. And so he writes, Mark 10:27, perhaps because of the salvation of some look to us, and this is from a long time ago, so his English is like this older English, and we don't know who the author is. Perhaps because of the salvation of some look to us to be an impossibility, the first scripture that was given us was, with God all things are possible. Amen? And then he goes on to say the next scripture that caught their attention was 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations. This is from 2 Corinthians 10. Some of our Bibles have arguments, casting down arguments. And every high thing, again, some of our lofty opinion, that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This shows the mighty power of our spiritual weapons. We must pray that all this to be accomplished in the one for whom we pray, that is, that the works of the enemy be torn down, because some of these loved ones are obviously still held by the enemy, who is Satan. He says, we should claim the tearing down of all the works of Satan, such as false doctrines, unbelief, hatred, etc., which the enemy may have built up in their thinking, that their very thoughts shall be brought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. In the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus, claim their deliverance from the power and persuasion of the evil one, and from the love of the world and the lust of the flesh. We should pray also that the quickening of their conscience, and that God might grant them repentance and a hearing ears and believing hearts as they hear or read the word of God. Pray that God's will and purpose be accomplished in and through them. It is our duty before God to fight for the souls for whom Christ died. Satan yields only what he must, and he renews his attacks in subtle ways. Therefore, prayer must be persisted in even long after the definite results are seen. Amen. And so put that in your prayers as you're praying for, because in this blessing series, we've said, write down 3 to 5 people in your circles of opportunity. You know, family, could be neighbors, could be friends, co-workers or acquaintances. And pray, not just they'll be saved, but pray, you know, as a warrior, that you're standing against what Satan has spoken into their minds and hearts, right? So I thought that was very good, and there's copies. There's more in it, but that's copies back there. So the point is, the greatest blessing you can give someone is Jesus. And remember that as a believer, Jesus lives within you and his spirit empowers you. And so when you pray and you give yourself to somebody as a blessing, you are bringing Jesus to that person. Does that sound exciting? So what have I not done this morning? Oh, pray. Thank you. Let's do that before we enter into the listen with care. Our Father, we come in the name of Jesus Christ, led by your Holy Spirit to this place. And Lord, we thank you that we have a mission on this planet. We were born by your design, your intimate personal design in each of us for a purpose. We thank you. We pause to thank you. And just pause for a moment and think of one thing that you could thank him for in your heart. We pause to thank you, Lord, for the richness of your blessings. We are blessed. Even in the hardest and most difficult of times, we are blessed because you're with us in those places too, loving us, caring for us. We are blessed for the promises you have given us through your Son of eternal life. We are blessed to have your Spirit help us when our strength wanes and fades out. We have you. And we pray now, Jesus, you called for people to have eyes to see and ears to hear, and we're asking you give us ears to hear the things you're saying by your Spirit this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just start with John 10. As I was thinking about listening, I'm sure many of your minds go to this chapter and verses where Jesus himself gives an analogy of listening. And he says in John 10, verses 3 through 4, he says, to him, talking about himself actually as a shepherd, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out his own, He goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. So when you are born again as a believer and follower of Christ, begins a journey of being a young sheep, newly born, hearing and learning how to listen to your shepherd's voice. We all love that, those verses, don't we? But sometimes we kind of miss or quickly read over and not think about something else he says in the same breath in verse 16. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. In other words, outside of God's family at the moment. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock, one shepherd, one God. And so that's part of our commission. We are listeners of the shepherd. And how does he do that? Jesus has physically left. But because he lives in you and me, we are the ones that are bringing that blessing that he's given us and passing it on to the next person. Have you ever thought of the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6? Of actually speaking to this morning's message of listen with care as we're trying to be a blessing. When you pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Who is Jesus inviting us when he taught the disciples and he taught and he's teaching us that prayer? Who is it? Our Father. Jesus is saying, join me relationally in this prayer to our Father, because it's his Father too. And then we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done. So when you're praying your kingdom come, you are praying that you want to be a participant in the Father's business. What's the Father's business? It's a blessing business. When you pray his kingdom come, it's all the goodness and truth and power and authority of God's kingdom coming. And is God's kingdom a blessing or a curse, people? Blessing. So when you're praying for his kingdom, you're praying a blessing into that and asking that you get to participate. Amen? Amen? That is so awesome. So in this Jesus saying, there's going to be other sheep out there of another fold, and it doesn't matter where they're coming from, religiously, ethnically, culturally, socially, they're out there, and he's wanting to make them part of his family, and you get to join in on that. And so this morning is about listening with care. What does that look like? Well, I want to, and I think we can get this mic on, if I'd like to invite Ryan to come on up, and so he has a story to tell, and so it's a story of listening with care. It's number one. Check. Try it, Tess. No, they're going to get it. So I want this to be heard. So,
okay. Hi there.
And so Ryan was just sharing a story with me. And it's neat how God is sharing, bringing up these stories of how we can bless. Because we need those testimonies as encouragement, right? And so that's why I just don't want to teach. I want you to hear stories as they come up. And this is my encouragement to you. Email me. Email the office. Come tell me your story. And some of these we'll be able to share with each other as God leads us. So, yeah. So, Ryan, tell them yours.
Sure. So, I'm not a particularly wonderful listener, I don't think. In fact, I like talking a lot. And this is exactly...
That's honest.
Yeah. This is exactly why I purposefully, do try and actively listen in conversations. Like, I try and make it a point to actually listen to people. And it's hard for me, but I work at a place where a lot of people that I work with don't believe the same way that I do. And some even believe like exactly, you know, opposite. They're just atheists, you know. And so I get a lot of time to listen, a lot of practice time rather. And yeah, so it's a really good ground to try and listen and learn how to listen. And one of the times that, you know, I got to really practice is with one particular guy. He's going to remain nameless. But yeah, he pretty much just was antagonistic towards Christianity. And when I worked with him, I worked with him for 4 weeks straight, just him and I. And I didn't really, you know, he was trying to get a reaction out of me almost. And instead of reacting, you know, I just kind of brushed it aside. I listened to him talk. I listened to sort of really what he was saying, you know, about what he likes, what he doesn't like, his, you know, his life and stuff. And he realized I wasn't really reacting to him, and that kind of subsided a little bit. And eventually he said something about his wife and his kids. And so I just sort of asked, like, you know, like, hey, you know.
No, can I just sure. ask, what, so he was he was trying to get a reaction out of you? Like, you going to share how he kind of would do that?
No, not specifically, just in case. I don't think that's helpful. I don't
know. Okay, sorry. All right. Hey, it's your story.
Yeah, yeah,
I was listening.
Yeah, I don't want to throw anyone under the bus, I guess.
Okay, but it was good. I heard some of it, so
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, basically he started talking about his wife and I kind of, that's where I directed the conversation. And I started asking about his wife, and it sounded like he really loved his wife a lot. And so I just kind of said, hey, that's really cool that you love your wife. I love my wife too. Like, that's pretty sweet, you know, because a lot of times in the trades, guys are like, oh yeah, wives, you know, and it's like, no, it's actually really cool to love your wife. And he reacted really positively to that. And he opened up and started talking to me about it, more about his wife, more about his family, more. And I learned that Cecily, my wife, and him and his wife, they all went to the same school together growing up. And so that actually brought us together closer. We started learning more about each other. And there was one thing that he always said that, and again, I'm not going to say it particularly, but it's kind of like the opposite of bless you. And anytime
let your imagination
anytime
go on
I sneezed
one.
Right, so I would sneeze and the typical thing is bless you, you know, God bless you. And he wouldn't say that, he'd say almost the exact opposite. And so
I think you could say it,
he would tell me Satan has you. So it was pretty intense. Anyway, so I basically was like, all right, once we kind of got some rapport, I asked him what that was all about. You know, like, hey, why are you saying that? Like, just out of curiosity. I mean, I get it. You know, I'm a Christian and what I think. But, like, really, like, what's going on? And he kind of told me, like, well, God is, you know, there's no room for God, essentially, because science has won out the day and has now proven God doesn't exist. You know, and there's no room in the world for God and science. And I just suggested to him that maybe God created science and physics and math, and he thought it all up. And so not only is there room, but, you know, he created it. And the guy basically was like, huh, I never really thought about it like that. No one has ever said that to me. And so that was pretty cool. And we grew more in our relationship then and deepened our, you know, conversations to more spiritual stuff. And we continued on talking more and more and more and talked about his family, you know, a bit. And it turned out that his parents and his wife's parents both, you know, had some faith and wanted their kids to be baptized. One of their kids particularly hadn't been baptized. And he actually, you know, we were talking about it and stuff, and he actually asked me to baptize his kid. And so I was a little, you know, I was very hesitant actually, but, you know, I heard what he was saying, and he was really opening up to me to, you know, have this conversation about baptism. And so I started talking about what baptism is, and he was very ready to hear too. You know, he really knew that I cared about him. And so he really cared what I knew about baptism particularly. And so I told him it, you know, represented, you know, being born again. And that's kind of a weird way to say something. And I explained, you know, how Jesus lived a perfect life. He was God's son, that he died on the cross for our sins. And when we believe that, we're born again. And so I was able to, I mean, he was really listening too. And so, you know, he was very, very ready to listen to me, you know, once, you know, I wanted to say something important to him, because I was so caring and listening to him in the first place. And there wasn't an ulterior motive to me listening to him either. You know, it wasn't like I was trying to get to a place where I could, like, you know, get him or anything. It was just a, you know, like, it was just a genuine care. Like, I care about this guy and I wanted to hear what he had to say about his beliefs and his thoughts. And it led to being able to openly talk about, you know, Jesus to him in a pretty profound way. And the story's not done yet, you know. We actually ended working together, and so I'm not working directly with him anymore, and so I don't get to talk to him as much. But I do know that the gospel has been shared with him very clearly from a very, you know, soft place in his heart, and he's more willing and open to talk about Christians and Christ and God than he probably ever has been. So I think that's pretty cool.
Just never know, you know, and we did even talk a little bit about that idea from Luke 18 about Jesus tells us to, Luke 6, when he says to love, do good, bless, pray for your enemies. And so now us all being good Christians, no one wants to say they have an enemy, you know. And so, but as soon as I changed it to antagonist, all of a sudden I had people talking to me about, well, yeah, I got antagonists, you know, I just say, well, they were acting like a jerk. And so there's all these jerks in life, you know, the way they're treating you stuff, right? The neat thing is you turn through blessing and prayer enemies into friends, like Ryan's story. And I think that's awesome. How does one listen with care? Be turning now where we're going to be anchoring this morning into Acts chapter 8. And there's a story there. I wanted to tell stories of Jesus, but I thought it'd be kind of, because man, he was such a great listener, wasn't he? And in the way he'd listen and bless people. But he's God, you know, and it's like, so let's find a story of one of the early Christians in Acts chapter 8. And as you're turning there, it's going to be, or opening your phones up to your apps and swipe over to Acts 8, starting with verse 26. And so how does one listen with care? Well, the answer is on your head. Because I find it interesting that God's given us two ears and one mouth ratio. You ever think about that? It's a 2-to-1 ratio, which means what, people? We're supposed to be listening twice as much as talking. And so what a simple way to build an outline, right? So we're going to talk about how to listen with your two ears differently and then speak with your one mouth. And so we begin with one ear is listen for the Spirit's guidance. Listen for the Spirit's guidance. And it's in your outline. And so you got to have one ear to the Spirit all the time. All right? And as we read this story, you're going to see Philip listening with two different ears and speaking with one mouth. Now, in the story, it's all happening simultaneously. In other words, there's a way you can listen with both ears, and one is listening for the Spirit's guidance, but the other one is listening to the person's heart. So you're listening to the Spirit, you're listening to the person's heart, all at the same time. But we're going to read this, and I'm going to break it out in a kind of artificial way just for you to see a little bit of what that looks like and to talk about it, and then what he spoke. Following? So how much more easier? This is a you get to take it home physically sermon outline. All right. I'm going to read the first three verses, just 26 through 28. And now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This, by the little commentary now, this is a desert place. And he rose and went, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So he was of a different religion, a different ethnic race, group, you know, and powerful, politically powerful, handles basically all the wealth of Ethiopia, you know, and so it's just like, holy moly, right? And he's in a chariot, which is like a limo. And hey, just saying. And so there was this Ethiopian man who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. So let's just kind of pause there for a moment in this idea of listening for the Spirit's guidance. You see, God had prepared Philip for this moment and had created what we're learning are divine opportunities. Some people call them divine appointments. And so there's these times when God's going to place you or take you to a place to someone that he wants you to bless. Now, if you really think about this, this was pretty inconvenient. And it was really interrupting Philip's life. You know, he's just going along being a good worshiper of God. And then did you notice where God sends him? It's like, I want you to go to this place, which was this highway, and it's basically in the desert. You know, just a desolate place. And sometimes we go too quickly. We got to put ourselves behind the driving wheel, put them in their sandals, and understand, you know what, to bless people isn't always convenient. What would you think if God said, hey, listen up, I want you to go south on Highway 80 to Nebraska. Okay, just, it's nowhere. And you're just going to drive there. And that's all he says. Just drive to Nebraska on Highway 80. And you're going to give me a little clue what's going on? No. That's what it was like for Philip. Sometimes God does something, and it's like it stretches you, and you don't get it. And it was just one little step of faith. God never gives us the whole picture, because we get to grow along this journey of blessing too. It's not just for the other person. It's also for us. So are you willing to be inconvenienced to be God's blessing in someone's life? That's the starting place. So what Philip does is he listens to the Holy Spirit. And so look at verse 29. And I'm going to actually read 29 through 35. And just for us to kind of get this story. It's so cool. And so in verse 29, and the Spirit said to Philip, go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up to sit with him. And I'm going to just stop at 31 for a moment. So right here, two things for us to notice is that the Spirit is always trying to guide us. He's always speaking to us. And the first thing we need to be doing is listening to what he wants us to do. So first he takes him to this highway, desert highway. And then Philip sees a chariot pulled over on the shoulder of this highway. And he said, and then the Spirit says, go over and join the chariot. And I love Philip's attitude. He runs over to this guy. You know, picture running over to this very expensive Mercedes limo. And you know, and I'd be like just pretending I'm lost walking down a highway. And as I walk by the vehicle, I would be hoping he might say, hey, excuse me. And I go, oh, yes. No, he's like books it, runs up to this chariot and this Ethiopian man. And hears him reading Isaiah, and he asks a question. And so that's the next thing, is not just Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do to be a blessing in this life? But the second one is listen to the Spirit on what to ask. And so he asks a question. And we're going to talk more about questions soon. But first we need to ask more questions than speak. And the first one with our listening ear is that we are to be listening to the Spirit on what to do or ask somebody. Okay? But then we pick up in verse 32 through 35, the third thing we are to have a listening ear for the Spirit on. And so verse 32 through 35 reads the story. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. So somehow, this Ethiopian man got a section of Isaiah 53, and that is, first of all, astounding that a non-Jew would have scripture, because they didn't have mass publication and printing. And so he had some scripture, and we're not told how. But again, God is setting up our opportunities before we do or say anything. And the eunuch says to Philip, about whom, in verse 34, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this about? Say this about himself or about someone else? So we see in this, and then Philip opens his mouth and begins to explain the scriptures. So we see in this that not only are we listening for the Spirit on what to do as a blessing in someone's life, how do you want me to do this? But we're also asking, what good questions should I ask to open up the door for a conversation so that this could lead to a blessing? And then the third one is we're listening to the Spirit on how to answer. Because when it says in verse 35, and then Philip opened his mouth, that's a sign that the Spirit is giving him what to say. And he, beginning with this scripture in Isaiah, he told him the good news about Jesus. Remember, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would help us know what to say when we need to speak or stand up for the gospel, the good news. And so he helps you. He helps me. So the question is, in this, that we are with one ear listening for the Spirit's guidance, is in, as you're praying for people, as you're praying for your three or five people to bless, where is the Lord working in this person's life? Ask the Spirit, where are you working? Show me, let me see this. And how can I join you in this work? How do you want me to bless them with what I do or say? All our actions and words are meant to be a blessing in someone's life, to help lead them to what? Closer to Jesus, right? So one ear, listening for the Spirit's guidance. The other ear, we listen to the person's heart. Look again at verse 30 and 31. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" He is entering into a conversation. He didn't run up and say, "You're going to hell. What will you do someday when you stand in heaven and give a reason for why God should let you in?" He was asking questions. He was listening to this person's heart. And actually, I guess saying that, I'm speaking for personal experience. So Jill and I, in California, got married and lived 5 years there in the Bay Area. And God got a hold of my heart to put a new calling to leave electronics and go into the ministry as a pastor. And so we went to Illinois for me to go to seminary. And then while we were there, we wanted to find a church. And so we found we visited a church like some of you are doing. And thought, man, this is great. And then that week, so I'm about to start seminary. I need you to understand this. As a pastor, I'm a Christian. I've been walking with God quite a few years, and now I'm going to seminary to be a pastor. Do you think I know of Jesus? Probably. I've given my whole life to start this journey. Given up careers, sold everything to raise up money for this. So anyway, I get a knock on the door one day, and there's three people standing at my door. And they say, hi, we're from, this church that Jill and I had just visited. And we just wanted to welcome you into the community and to the church. And it's all, I'm thinking, this is great. This is really nice. And I said, come on in. And then they started asking these questions. And I don't know if any of you ever heard of Evangelism Explosion. It was this big thing in the 80s. And there was this book called Evangelism Explosion. And literally, it's about the size of the Sun Prairie phone book. That you learn, you study this book, you have to memorize these speeches and questions. And so they asked that question, and I guess that's where that came from out of the top of my head. And it's like, so if you were to die today, and I had just told them that I'm going to the same seminary that their pastor went to, and I'm a Christian, and I left one state to move here, and it's like, doesn't matter. They got to ask their questions. If you were to die today and stand before God in heaven, what reason would you give him? And so I try to get, that he should let you into heaven. And it's like, well, again, like I said, I'm a Christian and I'm studying to be a pastor and I know Jesus. But what reason, they wouldn't let go. And it's like, all right, I'll play the game, And so I was, it's nice. I might be a little snarky now if it happened. But, I was kind of in my mind thinking, oh, I should just, turn some questions around on them and see if I could really mess up them with theology, And I gave my reason about, needing to trust not on my own works, but that, faith is, is grace is putting our faith in Jesus. And they went through all these questions. So what's my point? They were not listening to my heart. This went on for quite a while. And they were really nice folks, by the way. And Jill and I did end up going to the church. I ended up interning there. But it was just one of those, wow, this is a one-way conversation, And so don't do that, You see, the Holy Spirit led Philip to the right place at the right time. The Father was already working in this man's life, and Philip had an ear to hear in what this man had to say. And so I want to say a few things about listening with care. How do you listen to a person's heart? And the first thing is, listen with a full ear. See, you can kind of listen with half an ear. Where you're not really listening because you're thinking about what you're going to say, right? How many of you ever been talking to someone and feel like they weren't really listening anyway? No, don't raise your hands. I saw looking at a spouse. Don't do that in church. But I'm guilty of that. Come on, guys. It's like, so Jill's talking and I'm like, because I'm doing something else, totally half an ear. And then she's like, so you agree then? What did I just agree to? and she caught me. So we listen with a full ear. Matter of fact, there's even another little acronym if for those of you who like acronyms. Listen with all ears. E being just, they have your ears. Your ears with attentive listening, all right? The A is attention. They have your full attention. You're not kind of looking off at other things or doing the and then you're relaxed. Your body language is part of communication, and if you're not relaxed and you're trying to talk to someone about God and stuff, it's very just relax. But the S is for square. Face them. If someone's talking to you and they're just kind of, while trying to have a conversation, it's so discouraging. So it's kind of like listen with all ears. But also, listen with silence, because silence opens up spaces. It's so easy to want to insert something. You're actually not listening, but you're thinking about what you're going to say. You're kind of like Old Faithful. And the longer you don't get to talk, the more pressure is building up in you until you explode with what you wanted to say and didn't hear anything they said anyway. Silence is a good thing. I've heard, you know, I've never done that, but just I've heard people will explode and they're not really paying attention anyway. Matter of fact, there's a saying that goes, the opposite of listening is not speaking, it's waiting to speak. The opposite of listening is not the opposite of listening is not speaking, it's waiting to speak. So you're not really hearing anyway, right? There's really good things out there in listening. And listen with good questions. You know, good questions will open up two things, personal stories and spiritual stories. And in our and even in our insert on listening, there will be questions in the back that will help open up personal stories. Just things like, what is the story of your faith journey? How have your perspectives changed over time? Do you think there is a God? What do you think of this God? What questions would you ask God if you could? You know, I'm just reading a few of these. Have you ever had good or bad experiences with Christians or with the church? Whoa. Challenge you to ask that one. What were they? Because sometimes they aren't good. Jill had a conversation with somebody just like that, where they had a really horrendous experience in church, and we tend to equate that with that was God's doing, and it wasn't. And you know what she did? She apologized on behalf of that church. She doesn't know who the church is, but we're all in one family. We're all God's children, and so we can apologize and move on. But also there's good questions that can open up their own personal stories. And questions of clarification. So if you do speak, you know, use questions to help open up more things. Or can you explain more about that? Can you tell me why that word's important to you? Why you felt that way? What was your takeaway from that experience? So you draw people out, you know, and let them know that you care. That's interesting. You know, tell me more about that, or validate what they're saying and say, boy, that must have been. You ever had that? Like, they say something, and if you're just a blank stare, you know, when they just shared a heart-wrenching pain, no, it's like, that must have been hard. I like asking, you know, how did you handle that situation, that pain, that person? Because if they don't know Christ, they don't realize there's someone that wanted to join them in that and help them through that difficulty. To help you with your silence, you could just use the pastoral grunt. If you feel like you got to say something, that's the pastoral grunt. Now, if I ever do that, you're going to go, oh, I know what you're doing. Listen for what lies deeper. You see, in these places, in these conversations, there is usually something going on deep in somebody. And you have to help them get there. The only place I know of where somebody will go to the place of a dream they had, a hope, fear, or pain, is on the airplane just before you're about to land. Right? If any of you that fly a lot, you know, isn't it interesting how strangers will totally open up to you? Why? Actually, I didn't even think of asking that question. Why do they do that? Never going to see you again. It's safe. Correct. A person who listens with care to somebody, shows genuine interest, empathizes with what they're saying, enters into, what did this eunuch do? He invited Philip, after Philip asked a question, into the chariot with them. That's symbolic of he's inviting him in his personal life. So with a heart, with an ear that listens to the person's heart, You let them know you care. And before you can bless somebody, they need to know you care. They need to feel like you are safe. This kind of conversation makes them feel you're a safe person to open up with the things that are most precious to them, the things that are most difficult. Is anybody listening? Did you notice that where this Ethiopian man was? He had parked his chariot on the side of the road. He didn't park it. He had a driver, which you'll see later in the story. And so there was something troubling his heart. Sometimes it's spiritual. In his case, there was something. He had just come from Jerusalem. He just got the sacred Old Testament scriptures of Isaiah. Jesus has already come on the scene, but he doesn't know about this. And his heart is so troubled, he tells his driver, pull over on a desert highway. And that's a sign. You're listening for the deeper things, the things that trouble somebody, because God sent you to help speak into that. And then we listen to the Spirit on how to answer. And we saw in this that when, after Philip heard these scriptures, the same Spirit who brought him to this place on the highway, introduced him to this man, set this was a divine appointment, and he and God helped him speak the things, and we don't have it written down what he said, but he helped him come to understand how Jesus is the fulfillment of all prophecies. Jesus is the Savior of the world, not just the Jews, but the world. Guys like you, he was speaking into this Ethiopian's man. So ask yourself this question. Where are you, Lord, working in this person's life? How can I join you in this work, this blessing business of my Father? How do you want me to bless them? So we are listening with two ears, one for the Spirit's guidance, the other to the person's heart. And so we listen for the God's, we're listening for where God is working in this person's life. I love the story. All the church, most of the church heard this last year. And this is just a great story. And Joan and I have told many the story. But Karen, the worship leader in our church, befriended a lady, Pawnee, both their kids were in the baseball team. And Pawnee shared the story. It was really neat to hear her share this. She shared it herself in church once, and then this summer when she got baptized. And Pawnee is a Muslim, and she was, and her heart's desire was to meet God, to come into his presence. And she had said in all the places she went in the Muslim world where God was supposed to be, that she never met him. And Karen befriended her. And the thing that I found fascinating was that Karen was such, not that I was surprised, but Karen was such a good listener in this way of listening with care that Pawnee told the story of, at one point she goes, oh, do you too want to become a Muslim? Because Karen was asking such good questions. Karen was showing honest interest. Pawnee felt that maybe it was the other way around. Karen's wanting to become a Muslim. And Karen, over time, just helped her come to understand a little more. Karen was going to lead worship one particular Sunday, invited her to New Crossing Church. And in the church, Bonnie, in her testimony, came to really experience God's presence for the first time and came to understand the difference between the Old Testament and who Jesus was in the New Testament and the fulfillment of God's prophecy and covenant and became a Christian and got baptized. So, what is their greatest need? What do they want? What pains them? And I'm going to close this section with this quote. And this one's worth writing down. It's attributed to Theodore Roosevelt, and it goes, "Nobody cares about how much you know until they know how much you care." Nobody cares how much you know until they know that you care. Isn't that good? All right, two ears, there's one mouth. Third is mouth. With the mouth, we speak blessings and point them to Jesus. And so we see in verse 35, listen to the rest of the story now. "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?' And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he was baptized." And verse 39, this is where it gets weird. "And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away." I kind of like teleported him somehow away. "And the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing." That's the effect of a blessing. Someone knowing Jesus rejoicing. And I just think that's really awesome the way that worked. And so when we do speak and share the story of Jesus, share why we believe, I want to just give you one scripture from 1 Peter 3:15. It's a good one to memorize, and it just says, "But in your hearts, honor Jesus Christ the Lord as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone ask you for the reason for the hope that is in you." In other words, share your story, your testimony. Share why you have hope in the most difficult of situations and trials. Share how Jesus can come, how he has come into your own life and transformed your life and replaced fear with hope and sadness with joy, even in the most difficult of circumstances, how he cares about maybe their most difficult of relationships and why they don't have to even fear death, but because Jesus is giving them eternal life. But listen to this part, "Yet do it with gentleness and respect." And so when you and I speak to somebody, speak, share with gentleness and respect, not anger or hostility or saying, "Well, no, you, what you believe is so wrong, you know, it's kind of stupid, you know." No, gentleness and respect. Jesus wants to meet the person, this person in their place of need. And by introducing, listening with care, we can introduce them to the one who can help. My last passage this morning, what's fascinating about this story of Philip and the eunuch is God gave somehow into his hands, he came across Isaiah 53 that we read this prophecy about. Prophecy about Jesus. And what's fascinating is I read that and read what followed that prophecy was a blessing for this eunuch. Can you believe, can your mind get around the possibility that God had arranged Isaiah to put in this, the book of Isaiah, into this man's hands, this eunuch, that God had brought this man of a whole different origin, foreigner, to him at a desert road. Think of this man's testimony, this eunuch's testimony, when he got home and got to read the rest of Isaiah. And how he could testify, how, man, and this guy just, I was in the middle of Highway 80 in Nebraska on the side of the road, and this guy runs up and starts telling me, "Do you understand what you're reading?" But here's just, and I don't know if this is if it did happen, but I'm believing this is just more blessing that God wanted to reassure this man that he really was now part of God's family. And in just a few chapters over in Isaiah 56, we read this in verse 3. Just picture you're this eunuch now back serving the queen. You've just become a Christian, and you're wondering about all this stuff. Maybe your heart's doubting what really happened. And you read, "Let not the foreigner who hath joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Man, God arranges stuff in such a cool way. He was letting them know that you are better than a physical son or daughter of Jerusalem to me. You are now one of my spiritual sons in my spiritual family. Don't doubt this for one second. Amen. So, God is sending us to places we may not expect. He's trying to interrupt our lives for you and I to be a blessing. I want to invite the worship team to come on up. And I want you to ask yourself, how can I speak into people's situation? Think about those people that maybe you're visiting, and maybe there's just one person right now the Holy Spirit drops into your thoughts. How can I speak into their situation? But also we need to pray, give us boldness. Give us boldness to share the good news of Jesus Christ. It's not just God calling us to do acts of kindness, though those are wonderful things. God is calling you to be a spiritual blessing, and any act of kindness is in some way designed and meant to lead someone you care about closer to a son, Jesus. So let's pray. Our dear Lord, thank you for coming to save us. Thank you for the excruciating suffering and pain you went through physically, but even more so, the pain of becoming our sin. Just so that you could bless us with eternal life. The blessings you gave us, you got nothing from it. It was the most selfless act and all of history. And thank you for the blessing of your Spirit who lives in us, transforms us, empowers us to be men and women, sons and daughters of the Father. And Lord, we want to pass this blessing forward into someone else's life. We lift up that face, that name of that person you have given us. And we ask that you orchestrate that divine opportunity, that situation or the right question that will allow us to enter into their world, even their pain, or enter into their dashed hopes or just disillusionment even with you or church. And help us, by the power of your Spirit, bring a spoken blessing of good news into their life in Jesus' name. Let them come to know like this eunuch, like Philip did, like the apostles did, like we have, what it's like to belong to God as a precious treasure, a jewel, the apple of his eye, a son and daughter. So let us not miss these things. Give us spiritual ears to hear your Spirit lead and guide us. give us ears to listen to the hearts of people beyond our words. Let us hear deeper than the words, and then let us bring them to you through this for your glory and honor. And all of God's people said, amen.